This is A Drink with a Friend. I'm Tish Oxenreiter.
And I'm Seth Haynes.
Seth, what are you drinking?
Well, Tish, I am drinking water today. But it's not just that I'm drinking water. It's what I'm drinking water out of, the container.
You got yourself a treat.
I did. I got myself a treat. So what happened is I was in Colorado, as you know, for 20 of the last like 28 days working in a basement. And I kept going through the first week, I kept going through bottles of water. And I was really frustrated by the fact that I kept using all this plastic that was in our refrigerator. And so I decided to find a water bottle. I couldn't find one anywhere. And so I jumped on Instacart and I typed in water bottle. And the first thing that came up was a hydro flask. And I was like, oh, I see all the cool kids carrying these. I'm going to grab one and just see what I think about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's changed my water drinking experience.
I'm sure it has. I carry mine everywhere. So good for you. Welcome to 2021.
Yeah, for real. So the Nalgene and its competitors and that line of like BPA free plastic water bottles, those are great. I love them. They're great. I use them at home. They're fine. Yada yada, whatever. But I got to be honest. I can it makes my water taste.
Yeah, no, it does. It has a weird aftertaste.
And this does not. The hydro flask tastes like cold water. If you put it in there cold, it stays cold. If you put it in there hot, it stays hot. And they don't need this. Again, this is like not even an endorsement.
No, I know.
A paid endorsement. It's just a personal endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love this thing.
It's a game changer. I drink so much more water because I carry that thing around everywhere.
That's kind of crazy. So anyway, that's what I'm drinking today. What are you drinking today?
Equally uninteresting. I'm drinking fizzy water from HEB, black cherry this time. I wanted to get something interesting and I'm just tired. Yeah, sparky water. I'm very tired.
I mean, yeah, so why are you not drinking caffeine?
I have already, and I realize it's after 1 p.m. I'm still tired, and that's a sign that I just need to go to bed early tonight. So
okay.
Instead of pumping my body full of caffeine. It's not going to go well because all that'll do is race my heart, yet make me still feel tired.
I gotcha. So get the sleep, increase your telomeres, make your life generally better, and then tomorrow you'll be fine.
That's right. That's the idea. So
that's what they say.
That is what they say. So as the listeners are hearing our voices, it is officially the day after Thanksgiving. It is Black Friday in the US of A, which, you know, people do what they need to do. I know this isn't the topic of our chat, but do you do Black Friday shopping or do you avoid it like the plague?
I believe that there are a few things in the world that come directly from the devil himself. Mm-hmm. Whether you believe in the literal devil, metaphysical, metaphorical devil, whatever, I think there are a few things that come straight from Satan. Mm-hmm. One is you know, having to attend any basketball game where kids who are not your own under the age of 10 are playing. So that's one of them. It's just awful. The other is Black Friday shopping. That's the second. I literally hate it. There's nothing that I could hate worse than Black Friday shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But some people and people in my family that I really love really enjoy it.
Same. I have some extended family members that make it a thing. Like they go together and they wake up super early and yada yada. And I've just always been I'm going to be that annoying person who says no and avoids it. And I am willing to pay more to not participate, not because I'm a better person. I'm not a better person. I do think it's a practice more of us should embrace for the sake of telling the world and maybe our country what we think of Black Friday, but that's neither here nor there. I will say, I have been known to participate only in so much as if there's literally something we need anyway, like not as a gift, not as like, you know, we literally need it for the family. I have been known to wait for Black Friday to see if there's a sale, and then I will buy it in any way I can to avoid the store, whether that's like curbside pickup or online. So a few years ago, Kyle and I bought a new mattress because we legit needed one because we had not bought one since we were, you know, a long time. So that kind of thing. Right. And I'm happy to partake of the lowered price, but I'm not going to buy gifts on that day anyway.
But here's my question. Can't you get these things for the most part these days on like Cyber Monday sales?
Well, you can get them like several weeks before Black Friday and they're on sale. I think stores are catching on to how little people like to go to stores anymore. And so it almost feels like November is Black Friday from what I can tell. And so I have seen things on sale already for weeks now. So yes, is your answer. I'm a big fan of that new trend, that Small Business Saturday. I think that's super cool. How like small mom and pop shops have sales on Saturday. So I think that's fantastic. And I will say, I did create a gift guide this year. So I'm going to shamelessly link that in the show notes, but I purposely avoided any big box stores, especially those that rhyme with Schlamazon. And there's not much on there. I'm a big fan of like just a small, simple holiday gifting tradition. But I'm a realist and know that shopping online sometimes just has to be done. And so if we're going to do that, I'm a fan of buying as small as we can, still as local as we can. So that holiday gift list is with that in mind. But all that said, if you want to go today, it being Black Friday, to check that gift guide to see if things happen to be on sale, you're more than welcome to.
Here's my question.
That supports my work, but yeah.
I feel this is an important question. So this is something you do almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do this regularly.
I do. I've done it for years.
And you've had great gifts on the gift guide, which I love. Mm-hmm. This year in particular, do you happen to have anything from Dave and Karen's shop?
They don't sell online from what I can tell. You have to literally walk into their shop that used to be a house in the neighborhood and buy coffee and mugs and stickers and beans from them. Ooh. In person, which is
well, maybe
lovely.
Maybe I'll send you some money and you can buy me something from Dave and Karen's shop for me to give to someone for Christmas.
Okay. You know what? Let's go ahead and just plug it since we're already talking about shopping. Then we'll get into the thing. We have swag now, or merch, whatever the kids are calling it these days.
Swag. My kids call it swag.
My kids call it swag. I think if you're a real podcaster, you call it merch. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of like having all the tchotchkes. So there's not a lot of tchotchkes. There's like stickers, coffee mugs, since we are about drinks, and t-shirts. And I really like them. And I was hoping to have mine available by today so I could pour my sparky water into my new Drink with a Friend mug, but it has not come yet. So let this be a lesson to people that if you want Drink with a Friend merch or swag, you should order ASAP so it gets there in time. But I really like them. I like the new logo. I like, it's good stuff.
I got to be honest. I am not a huge fan of merch and swag. I don't know why. I'm not a huge fan of logos in general.
No, I get it. Me too.
And when I saw the merch, I was excited.
Yeah.
Like I really kind of can't wait. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'm going to just say that because we're called to Drink with a Friend, the way the merch is set up, it kind of has a message that doesn't make it look like a logo. It says enjoy a drink with a friend, which to me feels like you're saying both enjoy the podcast and actually go out there, get offline, go get a drink with a friend, and don't always be listening to podcasts. Talk in person, you know?
Agreed.
So,
for a while, I had this idea about a podcast called Call Your Mother, and it would sort of be in the same vein. Yeah.
Call your mother.
It'll never happen, but it was a thought.
It's a good thought. I like it. Okay. Well, because this is the day after Thanksgiving, that also means it's 2 days before the start of Advent this year. It starts on November 28th, 2021, because it always starts the 4 Sundays before Christmas Day. And that can be confusing for some of us, especially in the US, because it's not always that it's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, but it has been the past few years. And so it means it sneaks up on us when we're not ready. Like we're so focused on Thanksgiving, then Sunday rolls around or Saturday night, and we're like, oh shoot, tomorrow's Advent. That has happened to me many a year. And even though it doesn't happen to me now because of my work involved with it, it's a very understandable thing how easily it sneaks up. Talk to me a little bit about you and Amber's approach to Advent. I know we're kind of in the same boat of not having grown up with it, but are in a church environment now that recognizes Advent.
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, I sort of grew up with Advent. So I grew up in Catholic school. And so I had Advent every year at school, although as a little Protestant kid, it was really difficult to understand, like, now, wait, what's happening here?
Right.
And it was kind of the same with Lent and Easter. I didn't fully appreciate it. And probably push back against it a little bit because I was a good little Baptist boy. That's what good little Baptist boys do. No offense to any good little Baptist boys listening to this podcast. So it wasn't really into my later years that I kind of really got into the practice and celebration of it. And probably, you know, it was before our Anglican years. So probably for the last 10 or so years, like we practiced it, just our family, practiced Advent, just our family, and to some degree Lent. But you know, I think I made this confession this Lent. I'm a terrible Advent practitioner. As from a family perspective. Now I love the season myself. I love the reflection. I spend a lot of time in the mornings by myself in Advent and Lent, really doing the personal work and the personal reflection that you're supposed to do during Advent and Lent. But I will say from a family perspective, I'm really terrible at it, which is why last year your book was very, very, very helpful to us. Was it your book last year? Now I'm going to go on a side trail. It that was what? Your book. The Little Blue Book.
That is what I'm going to shamelessly link to in the show notes.
Okay, so Kyle should cut all that out because I started guessing myself.
No, it's all right.
Yeah. So your book, and we also had a like a little Advent calendar that it's refillable. We've used it the last probably 2 or 3 years that we really love too. So that was really helpful. We're really bad about the Advent calendar though. So what we end up doing is we'll accidentally skip 3 or 4 days and then we'll make up for it all at once by reading like 2 days readings and then just eating all the candy. So that's a pretty terrible practitioner way. We are not like there is this, sort of quasi famous Christian writer who I sort of think of her and her family in my mind as a sort of idealized version of Advent who gathers together and breaks out the family Bibles and reads together and prays and says all the right things about Jesus and the earth and the coming of the King and all of these things. We are not that. We have tried, but we are miserable failures.
Well, so are we. Which might be a surprise to people since I wrote the book, but that's the reason I wrote the book, because I was so annoyed at us for constantly dropping the ball on Advent. So I like that you are owning up to that, and I like that we're talking about this, because I have a feeling we're in the camp of most drink listeners. I think most people do not see themselves as like model parents or model Christians when it comes to recognizing Advent. And the reason I think it's important to have this conversation is because we tend to be all or nothing people. Like, we think if we can't do it perfectly or if we can't do it right on time, then why bother at all? And so, you know, someone listening right now might be thinking, oh, shoot, it's in 2 days. I had no idea. And they might be tempted to think, well, we're not going to do anything because how on earth could I like get quote ready in 2 days? And I want to just say for the record right now that I think it's perfectly fine to start Advent whenever. So yes, it's historically recognized the 4 Sundays and the weeks in between leading up to Christmas, but there's not some kind of rule that says if you start on day 11, then you only halfway celebrated it or recognized it. It's important, I think, to remember that the liturgical calendar as a whole, which includes Advent, is a gift. It's not a rule book. It's not a taskmaster. It's not a to-do list. And so it's not like God's up there keeping score saying, good job, you did Advent with your kids, you know, 5 days in a row, you are a super Christian. It's a gift to us. It's for us. And so that means there are times when there are days when you can't do, quote, whatever do Advent means, because it's just a crazy day. And I think that's important to remember, because it's not really about that. It's just remembering what the season is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think for us, we really do try to sort of capture the season rightly. You know, we do a lot of things like this too. Like, for instance, and this is kind of a quick aside, but, you know, we love Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. We do not love Hallmark Christmas movies. So no. Anyone who is like imagining us sitting around watching, you know, my two, you know, girlfriends, the Christmas holiday episode, yep. We don't do that. That's ridiculous. But so what we do watch though are the things like Elf and Christmas Vacation and It's a Wonderful Life, and all, you yep. know, all the great sort of classic,
all Christmas the greats. Movies.
But you know yep. what we do is like we intentionally every year, like we chart it out. Like this day we're going to watch The Grinch. This day we're going to watch, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas. This day we're going to watch, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then invariably we miss. Invariably. And so we'll end up binging like a whole Saturday of like the three movies that week that we missed or whatever, so that we can stay on our schedule. And I find this is a very normal part of the human life. You know, yeah. things disrupt, you get behind, and then you sort of do this sort of mad dash to catch up. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think for too long, I sort of lived under this view that there were people out there who were adventing perfectly. Mm-hmm. Just yeah. nailing it, just nailing that advent, you know. And I'm sure there are some weeks and years that are better than others. Mm-hmm. But I just, man, I think I'm old enough now that I realize that there's no such thing as the perfect advent.
Right. Right. We used to do exactly what you said too. I no longer even do a calendar, but we did for many years. And the reason we would do that, you know, we'd flip it over and it'd be like, watch Elf, is because it felt like we were just taking advantage of the things we were doing anyway. So it's not yeah. like adding more. It's just either spacing it out or making it more special, you know, like, okay, so we'll watch Elf, but hey, let's pop popcorn. And so now it's a thing. And we're the same way with movies. And I don't know. I'm also a big fan of recognizing Advent because it means we get to recognize that Christmas is 12 days. And so even these things that we want to do leading up to December 25th, if we don't get to it, that just means we do it, you know, December 29th. We will watch a Christmas movie or, you know, like I have a group of friends that we do a cookie swap and they're all Anglican. And I'm Catholic, so we will do it sometime during the 12 days because it's just too hectic before then.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to me, that's one of the great permission slips of Advent is that we get to not so much postpone Christmas, but we get to spread it out. You know, we get to say there's no reason to like just go hardcore on all the Christmas stuff beforehand. And then you're so sick of Christmas that by December 26th, you want to throw your tree off a cliff.
Yeah, right.
So that's what I love about Advent as well.
But here's the important question about the cookie exchange. Do they give you Anglican cookies and do you give them Catholic cookies?
I don't know. This is my first year as a Catholic. So if any Catholic tells me, you know, can tell me what are Catholic cookies, I will make that recipe.
I mean, I think you should yeah. make a cookie in the shape of purgatory and give it to them.
Because my three Anglican friends, I love them dearly, but they do think we're a little kooky now that we're Catholic. So why not just, you know, press into that?
And let them give you, you know, cookies of the Cathedral of Canterbury.
That's right. Via media cookies, whatever that looks like.
Whatever yeah. it is. What the middle way. I don't even know what that would be.
I don't either.
The number five. I think it's a cookie of the number five.
This is such niche jokes. It's weird.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so back to my book without sounding really shameless.
So let me give a better segue to that.
Good.
Kyle, cut that out.
Thanks.
So here's the thing. Niche jokes aside, tell me, Tish, if somebody here is listening and they would say, you know, hey, look, I don't even know where to start. I've never really done Advent before, or I've done Advent, but I've done it much like Seth and his family, which is very poorly. What is a way that our listener can sort of say, okay, I want to experiment with this year. I want to enter into Advent. maybe in a not so difficult way. What is one way they could do it? And yes, this is a little bit of a pitch setup, but the truth is, mm-hmm. I used your book last year. It was really good. So tell us, like, what's a way we can enter into Advent?
Yeah. You know, the reason I wrote Shadow and Light was because I could not find the book I wanted for my family. I wanted a book that was not so complicated that I felt behind by day three because it was either really long or really like built on itself, meaning like it was a story that, you know, if we skipped a day, we suddenly had like 5 days worth of reading to do. And I didn't want something that was so lighthearted that it's meant for younger kids or children at all, so that it's like very crafty or very cartoony. I wanted something that was realistic but rich theologically. And so I wrote this book initially several years ago, I want to say 5 years ago now, just for my family. Like, I just wrote it and I had no intention of turning it into a published book. But long story short, it did. And so what this is a daily, you know, starting the 4 weeks before Christmas, it is a short reading, a reading of the Psalms, like one of the Psalms, a question that you can ask either as a group, you know, as a family or with your roommates or just on your own if you're doing this by yourself. And then it is a song and a work of art. So you can play the song and you can look at the work of art and then you light a candle. So that sounds like a lot. I just named six things and that sounds like, you know, okay, so six things to do every night. That sounds bonkers. If that feels overwhelming, do two is what I usually tell people. Like, read the psalm and listen to the song, or read my two paragraphs before the psalm and light the candle. You don't need to do it all. If you want to do it all, I still made it really short. Like right now, for example, I'm looking at, I just opened it up to Thursday, week two. And it is 2 pages long and with a lot of white space. So it's not complicated. I picked songs that were as timeless as possible, yet good. I'm very, very picky about holiday music, and I wanted music that perhaps would not go out of style, but it is also not too, this sounds weird, but not too Christmassy. Meaning we will get to the Hark the Herald Angels Sing at Christmas, but there's a lot of good Advent music out there that goes skipped because people don't recognize it really as Advent. And so it's music for the Advent season. So that, you know, if you are sick of hearing White Christmas at all the stores, consider this playlist a bit of a treat for your ears. And then artwork every day of the week, I mean, every day of Advent that is from around the world. So I've got, yes, your classic, you know, Rublev icon from Russia in the 14th century, but I've also got something from 2 years ago from India, or, you know, one of my best friends that I've known since kindergarten is an artist, and I've got some of her work in it. And you do with it what you want, you know, so I've got it all linked on the book's companion website, and you are welcome to just open it up, play the music because it's right there as a Spotify playlist. Click on the link of the art, look at it, light the candle, and then just talk as a family, you know, enjoy being together. And Advent means anticipation or arrival, some form of that. And so all we're doing is recognizing the arrival of Christ slowly. It's just a permission to take 5 minutes and remember what we're doing all this hullabaloo for, that it's not for impressing our neighbors with our, you know, Christmas spectacular wonderland in the front yard, or for, you know, buying all the gifts so that family members are happy. It's for a very particular reason, which is my way of saying those terrible phrases like keep Christ in Christmas or Jesus is the reason for the season. And I don't mean it to be tropey, but I mean, that's kind of what Advent is. So there's my little pitch for why we should recognize Advent as simply as possible.
I think that's a good pitch. And I will tell you too, as someone who used your book last year, it is not overwhelming. It is. I mean, I think it took us maybe like 10 minutes to go through everything, all facets of it. And then talk it out. You know, we would sit around the table normally over dinner and talk it out. So obviously that lasts as long as dinner lasts. But yeah, I think it's a great tool. It was a great idea. It was a great package, great delivery. And I think everybody should do it.
Yeah, I do too. And I will say right now, as a parent, that when you do it with your kids, don't feel like you're doing something wrong if the kids either roll their eyes or aren't in the mood for it, or totally don't focus on the right things. Like, yeah. My kids love the roll, like, we make beeswax candles beforehand. That's just something we've done since they were little. They still fight over who does what color. Like, I want the pink one, I want the purple. I mean, it's, and they are older. And then when we do Advent, and we get to the question, it's often crickets. They're like, I don't know what, how I noticed God today, Jesus, you know, and that's okay. So I'm telling you this now, honestly, that it's not because, you know, I didn't write this because my family's holier, and now we are a hot mess a lot of the times, just like you.
Well, that's a very true statement that you've made there, hot mess. So, Well, I think everyone who's listening, if you are listening along, don't feel bad if your family's a hot mess during Advent. Don't feel bad if your history with Advent is you got to play catch up every 2 or 3 days because you get behind. Don't feel bad if you've never participated in Advent.
Yep.
Instead, give it a shot this year. And I think that maybe use Tish's book. I think that would be a good way. And I get no proceeds from saying that you should get Tish's book. I have no dog in this hunt, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so, I, you know, to me, it just makes sense.
Thanks. I appreciate that. You probably do in some way in terms of a podcast co-host. I mean,
maybe that's true.
Maybe it keeps my lights on, which means I can still show up every week. But you're right. You don't really have a dog in the hunt. So other than just supporting a friend, which I'm grateful.
Yeah. And it's that friend that I have drinks with.
There you go. Well, with, I don't know if you've got something holiday centric in mind or not for your thing, I'm just going to ask, though, do you have anything that you're reading, watching, or listening to that's adding more beauty to your life, holiday focused or not? What's going on with you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is the season of Advent, which means the season of waiting, which I think a lot of people interpret as a season of sorrow. But so I am reading a book that is called Sorrowland by River Solomon, and it is not an Advent book. It's just a really good book so far. I think it's a novel. I finally was out of trial long enough to pick up a book. And this is the book I picked up because I was not ready to start, you know, the amazing Cloud Cuckoo Land yet. I was not ready to start that. I read one page and was like, okay, I have to not do this yet.
Me too.
So I'm reading this other book that I've been wanting to read, Sorrowland. So far, it's pretty good. It's got some dystopian elements to it, some culty elements to it. It feels a little bit like it may have some racial overtones in it. It feels like an important book so far, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm liking it. I wouldn't say I'm loving it.
Okay.
But I would say I'm liking it, and I think it's going to be an important read. It's kind of like the book, I don't know if you read this years ago, Sunil Yapa had a book called The Heart is a Muscle the Size of a Fist.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You told me to read it and I never did. So,
oh, it's such a good book. And I wouldn't say that it was a book that I loved or enjoyed reading, but it was a very, very important book. Sure. And so I think about it a lot. And I probably will read it again before too much longer. So yeah, it's one of those books. And I think this is starting to shape up to feel like that.
All right. Very cool.
That's me. So Tish, what are you reading, watching, or listening to that is bringing a little more truth, beauty, or goodness to your life?
Well, I am reading right now Pride and Prejudice, which I have read many times before. Mm. My newsletter subscribers know of this because we're going to do a Zoom live chat before too long about Pride and Prejudice. But my friend in town turned me on to the Audible version because she said she listens to it all the time to maybe, or she listens to it so often, she listens to it to go to sleep because it just feels like an old friend. So I thought I would check it out. And sure enough, she is right. So I am listening to Pride and Prejudice on Audible. It is read by Rosamund Pike, who plays Jane in the 2005 version of the movie. And she's got a great voice. She does the other voices really well. And so it's just been like listening to an old friend, and it is comforting. There's something to be said about listening to a book you know really well as you just go about your day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get like maxed out on new information. Like I cannot listen to another podcast. I cannot watch another YouTube video. I just need something good to accompany me as I fold the laundry or as I make dinner. And sure. That's what this is. So it's lovely. I recommend it.
Well, I have never in my life read Pride and Prejudice. And I know. So maybe I'll download the Audible and listen to it. I make no promises.
I get it. No, I get it. It's okay. My take on classics is not to shame anybody. It's to say, ooh, you've got a treat ahead of you. So if you ever choose to read Pride and Prejudice, you're going to like it because it's fantastic.
Do you know, there's an author, I think we've talked about this before, named Dan Taylor. I think I mentioned this maybe not too long ago, but he said to me, I asked him, he's an old guy, he's a professor of literature. And I asked him if he'd ever read a book, and I don't remember the book right now.
Yes, and he told me this. Yeah.
It was a classic, and he said it might have been Bride's Head, in fact. And he said he hadn't read it, and he said it just like immediately. And he said, I have no shame in the books I haven't read at this age. It's the life's too short, and there are too many great works of literature to shame people for what they have and haven't read. And that's just thought that was a beautiful comment from an elder statesman who knows his literature.
You know, I obviously don't know what I'm talking about, but I would not be surprised. I would be very delighted if there is a giant library in heaven where we just get to read everything we missed on earth forever and ever so that we do actually have time to read everything one day.
Yeah, you'd have a whole eternity to do it.
Yeah, got plenty of time. And maybe we'll even be writing more books because that sounds lovely. Ooh, anyway.
I like it. All right.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap this up. You can find this episode as well as all episodes at adrinkwithafriend.com. If you like the show, as always, you can help keep it going by picking up the next round of drinks. You can do that at adrinkwithafriend.com or the links in the show notes. And thank you so much for all of you who do that. It means a lot. You can find me and how to connect with me, especially via my newsletter at tishoxenrider.com. Seth, where can people find you?
They can find me at SethHaines.com.
Music for this show is by Kevin MacLeod. Editing is by Kyle Oxenrider. And I'm Tish Oxenrider with Seth Haines. And we will be back here with you soon. Thanks for listening.